While the kiddos are getting settled, and before I have the children come up here, I think I want to just say two or three things, I guess. One of those things has to do with after next Sunday, Sally and I are planning to be gone for 3 months, okay, January, February, March. I've shared that with you guys already. We thought it probably best to kind of give Michael some time to settle in to leadership. I think the concern that we have had and the transition team has had is that as long as I'm here, people are still probably going to defer to me. And let me just say, I love this guy. And I don't know, we've been spending 3, 4, 5 years, something, 3 or 4 years, anyway, most every week together. We have our own table that we don't have to pay rent on at Panera's at the mall. I don't think we do. So it's great to spend time with Michael. And it's been my privilege to spend time, and we'll continue to do that. Probably not quite that much, but we'll be still spending time together. You know, retirement for me is not, and for some folks is, you know, you really stop what you're doing, okay? That's really not the case for ministers, because this has never been a job. It's a calling. And I'm sorry to break it to the pastors of this house, but you guys are really in this for the long haul, okay? And I know that there are some dear friends who have stepped away after they have felt called and stuff. That's never been a part of how I understand from Scripture the call of God. And so the only difference, we won't be as visible. I won't be up front. We're going to kind of move back. We're going to join the ranks of those that bake muffins and bring them on Sunday morning and only provide them for the two big boys there. I noticed there were just two muffins there. I get it. I understand. And they looked like they had red stuff in them, like cherries or something. Did they have cherry stuff in them? Cranberries? Anyway, so the big difference is that we are going to move back and we're going to really entrust the leadership of this church into faithful men who are able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. So what is the difference? I'm not getting paid. I'm sorry to break it to you, honey. So John, step it up, buddy, and make lots of money and help keep us out of the nursing home, okay, or something like that. I'm not sure how that all goes, but so that's kind of what we're going to be doing. We're going to step away for January, February, and March, and then we're coming back before Palm Sunday full bore. And what that means for us is in leading. A more active leadership role in the children's area. I'm looking forward to being on the worship team with Ken and probably bringing out the, you know, the instruments that he used to play and stuff. And people always say, you used to play. We understand. Why don't you play here? Well, I used to play in bars. And So there's just not enough smoke in this room to make the music sound good. Holy smoke, maybe, but I mean, there's just not enough smoke. So. Enough of all that. Oh, one other thing. My next to Ron Meyer, Dr. Meyer, who is my dearest friend in the ministry, who has... He has full-blown Alzheimer's, and so it's difficult for him these days just to navigate life. I don't know if Ron is going to be here. We don't really know for this next Sunday celebration, and I really hope you'll plan to be a part of that. I have spoken with the four folks that are going to be speaking for this much time, and it is not going to be syrupy and sappy. I'm just hoping they keep it clean, and I'm quite confident that at least one of them will not. So a duck hunting friend involved with Ducks Unlimited nationally, and he's coming in. But my dear friend, Dickie McAllister, who's from the Deep South, from South Alabama, is going to be here to speak this next Sunday, a week from today. He'll be speaking here, be preaching. he'll also be sharing Sunday night at Peachtree. And if for no other reason, just come and listen to him talk, you know, and see if you can understand anything he's saying. He talks funny. And I told him, I said, now, Dickie, we're only talking 5 minutes maximum at the celebration. He says, it'll probably take me 6.5 minutes because I talk real slow. So I hope you'll plan to be a part of that. And Dickie is a very gifted preacher. He's been at this for 54 years and oversees 34 churches down in the Deep South, not too far from Geneva, a little ways away from Slick Lizard and Op. Alabama, and true, so you plan to be here. He is a great preacher, and then we have something a little special with Michael for this next Sunday, too, so please plan to be a part of that. All right, here's what I need the kids. So I think I said everything I was supposed to say. Okay, we had hand signals in case if I forgot, and so I need the children up here, okay. And youth, you can sort of come if you want. And I want the caregivers to come with them. Now, kids, I'm going to have you focus kind of up here, okay? So you can be on the lower platform, you know, kind of how we normally do, okay? Oh, hey, I got some bags up here. Jack, why don't you help give out some bags up here, okay? And Nathaniel, would you, you're going to have to, dude. Get you 5 or 6 or 7 bags at a haul here, okay? Tatum, why don't you help out too? Let's give out some bags. Every child and adult here gets a bag. And let's don't be taking a sneak peek. That's right. Thanks, Liam. Anybody? We got a whole bunch of kids over here that don't have them. So, Liam and Nathaniel, maybe you could work your way over here. Yeah, just grab them and give them out over here. Everybody gets a bag, okay? And... everybody got a bag? Yeah. All the kiddos got bags?
Yep.
We got a few left? Awesome. Well, that's good. All right.
Do I get these?
If you'd like them.
I want one.
Of course, your parents will never speak to me again. So I never get to the Christmas story. Hello there, Snickle Fritz. I never get to the Christmas story, but what I don't look at, you know, I have lots of things through the years that I've written in here, and one of the things that I wrote in here, I wrote about you, Jack. It's something that you said a few years ago to me. It comes at verse 37 and 38 of chapter 1. This is not part of the message, but I just have just seen this. And I've come across this several times over the last few weeks in preparation. And Jack, I don't know if you remember saying this to me, but you came up one Sunday morning. You were 6 years old then. How old are you now?
Seven.
He's seven?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're Jack's son. This is Jack. Jack's son. Jack. And Jack's son, before you leave, you make sure you meet my son down there, because Jonathan was just like you at this age. And I'm sure he'll give you some tricks of the trade, dear Lord Jesus. And here's what this Jack said to me when he was 6 years old. He came up to me one Sunday morning and he said, "Whatever you think is best for me, that's what I want." You don't even remember saying that, do you? We got a screaming one back there. It sounds like Walmart. No. Another child enjoying Sunday school. Well, let's get with it before we lose them here. You know, whether it's the accommodation of family schedules or the realization of financial shortfalls, the Christmas time of the year can be pretty scary. And it can it can elicit cries for help, kind of what was going on back there, and often cries for help from parents. I think perhaps that may have been what Job was doing in chapter 6 and verse 13. Don't need to turn to this. When he said, "Is it that my help is not within me and that deliverance is driven from me?" And you have a tendency to kind of feel that way, I think, at Christmas time with just the pressures that come, I think, on families and just trying to accommodate schedules and money and you know the stuff. And, you know, it used to be, I'm thinking of you, Jimmy, it used to be that we would have meals and there was always the stuff that you would eat at meals. Kids, what's your favorite stuff to have at Christmas time for Christmas dinner?
Steak.
Dude, I'm coming to your house. Steak. Of course, your dad's Corey Peck.
Watermelon.
I don't know about that one either. What else? Anybody got any Christmas food? Somebody be eggnog. What? There we go. Cookies.
Cake.
What else? Cake. What else? Jackson, what's your favorite? This is scary. What's your favorite Christmas food? That's what I thought.
Bananas.
Yeah. And we hope that nobody gives you any more sugar. Okay. Now I need you to sit right there. Okay. All righty. Now, all right, one or two more quickly. Bananas? Okay, this is going nowhere. And second thought, when we get back in March, we're not working with children. So. Okay, I just need this right there. So, a lot of times we hear these cries for help. Here's what the psalmist writes in 33 of Psalms and verse 20 and following. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him. And then one that is known to everybody, Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then later in verse 5, he says, God will help when the morning comes. And so, help! Christmas's first family. Where's my sack? Did you take my sack? I've got a sack here. Christmas's first family we find in this sack, kiddos, and I'm going to have you help me with this, okay? And what we find, I think, in Christmas's first family is we find a number of characters that are all, I think, crying out for help. And I think you'll see that here as we look at these things together. The question really comes, I think, for us today is that who in the story then, who really needed help? And the story now. Who really needs help? Our help comes from the Lord. So let's take a look at these persons of interest that I'm calling, referring to them, of this first Christmas story. Anybody find Joseph in there? Let's see if we can find him.
Joseph.
Are you sure that that's Joseph?
Yes, Joseph.
Why is this not Joseph?
Okay.
What's it look like? All right, right here. This is Joseph. All right, is this Joseph? We Joseph? All right. So let me talk just very quickly, emphasis on quickly, about Joseph. We find his story in Matthew chapter 1 and in a few other places, but here's what Matthew chapter 1 in verses 19 and 20 says. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Now, this is important, children and adults, big children, to understand what the word righteous means. Righteous, he was a righteous man, it says, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Why was he wanting to send Mary away secretly? Well, probably not that, but that is an answer. So there was real help here that Joseph was needing, right? We all know the story. Mary is pregnant with a child. And the child is a very special child. It's God's child. God's child. Mary was pregnant, and Joseph and Mary were not married. Now you have to listen to me about this, okay? And so Joseph, this was a real cry for help from Joseph. Help! And it says in verse 20, but when he had considered this, behold, he gets a visit from someone.
Angel.
An angel. Anybody find an angel in there? Yeah. Pull it out. Let's see. Let's see if we can find an angel.
A fly.
All right. Now it's always interesting to me, the angel. It's got wings. Now, I'm going to tell you something here, and you're not going to get this here as children, but adults, nowhere in Scripture do you find angels with wings.
What?
I've really... Now it's... Help! Okay? Now, we've got Sarah. I know you're going to quote Scripture. You're going to say seraphim and cherubim and all of those kinds of deals, all right? But nowhere. Now, where in the world do we get the wings on angels from? Anybody got an idea? Where do you think?
Holy of Holies. The angels' wings touched.
Were they angels? What were they?
Cherubim.
Okay, now I know you're saying, okay, you're splitting hairs here, preacher boy. All right? But the big deal, you know, we don't really know. But I think the majority of this angel and wings and all of that kind of, you know, how, if someone said, well, that's how they get around, you know. You know, that kind of a deal. Nowhere do we find in Scripture that they had wings, okay? But we do know that they did get around. And you'll see that they get around in the Christmas story. And they show up when you least expect it. In fact, Scripture tells us that we entertain angels. Do you believe that? Have any of you ever had kind of like a visit from an angel? Kinda, sorta? Okay? I tell you, I have. That's actually for an almost stepped on somebody. That's for another message. But for our purposes this morning, kiddos, we got an angel here. The angel shows up for Joseph. Joseph is crying for help. He says, this is what I want to do. But then he considers doing something different. And the reason for that is because he's a righteous man. Now, let me tell you what righteousness means. It's always based, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, listen quick, kids, in covenant relationship. And in a covenant, there's always one who initiates it and one who participates in it. God initiates the covenant. He is always the initiator of the covenant. And what he says is this, Joseph, you are now declared right. You're now in right standing with me. And because of that declaration, Joseph had the power within himself to do the right thing. If you're not righteous, if you've never come to the place where you have said yes to Jesus, where you have found the baby Jesus, chances are you're going to make a mess of your life and a mess of everybody else's life around you. Are you with me on this? That's why the church, that's why the world is in such chaos. It's because Jesus has not been born into people's lives. It's not a Republican or Democrat or any other kind of issue. It's a godless issue. It's that God has not, he wants to declare people right, that they're in right standing, because he knows when he makes that declaration, people then will do the right thing. Joseph does the right thing. That was his cry for help. And we know that who helped him was an angel. Now, listen, guys, when we get to heaven, if angels are up there with wings, I'll give you an eternity to tell me I told you so. Okay? It's not that big a deal. What is a big deal for me with angels is the fact that I've never seen anybody walking around with wings coming out of their back that I didn't shoot. Are you with me, Corey? So we've got a Joseph stick and we have an angel stick. We need a Mary stick. Anybody find Mary in there? Where'd Mary? Where's Mary? Is this Mary? I think Mary needs to lose a little weight. Is that Mary? All right, so Mary's story is found in Luke and in one and also in partially in two. And here's what it says in Luke chapter 1 and verses 31 and 32. It says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb." This is the angel, by the way. Everybody got the angel stick? Hold it up. Angel. The angel tells Mary, you're going to conceive in your womb. That just means you're about to have a baby that's going to start growing in the womb. You're going to conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You see, up until she got a visit from the angel, I think Mary was crying out for help. Help! And here comes Gabriel, the angel, who was sent from God, as it says in chapter 1 and verse 26 of Luke. And then what we have is this amazing worship. I think Joseph worshiped too. Whenever he found out that the firstborn was going to be called Emmanuel, I think, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, 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 God is with us. We sang that this morning. And then Mary's, I think she started worshiping too. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That's her song. That's Mary's song. She worshiped. We need another stick. Anybody find baby Jesus? Okay, now this is kind of curious to me. What is baby Jesus lying in? A manger. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, kiddos. When babies are born today, where are they born?
In a hospital.
In a hospital. Mostly. And after, we've got some gals that work in labor and delivery. Thank you. I was thinking the places where babies are born. That would be labor and delivery in the Greek. And so after babies are born, then what kind of clothes do they wear? What do babies wear? What do babies wear, Brooke? What? You're not Brooke. You're Francis. Francis. What? Blankets, diapers, okay, kind of a deal like this. Check out the manger here. Check out the manger. The baby was born in a manger, and what kinds of things was around baby Jesus?
Sheep.
Well, there were animals and things like that. What do you think, buddy? There were clothes or cloths, it says, sometimes swaddling cloths. And they were around, but they weren't wrapping around the baby. And so what was happening here was the baby was born in a manger. A manger was a feed trough where animals ate. Now, why was Jesus born in a manger and not in a hospital? Because, one, they didn't have any hospitals. But where normally would babies be born then if they didn't have hospitals? In a home or in
a manger.
Or in a manger. Well, that's one. What else?
A manger.
Okay. So normally they were born in a house or someplace like that. So Joseph and Mary, they were headed to Bethlehem and they were looking for a house, weren't they? They were looking for a hotel, kind of a deal. And when they got there, the Bible says, sorry, no vacancy, no room at the inn. So they ended up having to go to this new place. Baby Jesus, we see his story. We find it in both Matthew and Luke, but in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, here's what it says. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, just like you said, in cloths. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Indeed, what John writes in chapter 1 and verse 14, the word becomes flesh and dwells among us. We need another stick. Anybody find a shepherd stick in there?
Shepherd.
What's a shepherd look like? Okay, how do you know that's a shepherd, Liam?
He's got a stick.
He's got a stick. All right. So their story, I got to move fast here, guys. Listen fast. Their story is found in Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, here is what it says. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And then what happened? An angel of the Lord. And as an angel, that's what angels make. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. That was the shepherds. Help!
There's nobody around.
Except there was an angel. And not only was there one angel, but when you really get looking at it, over here in later in chapter 2, it says, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a whole bunch of angels. A multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And so it was their cry for help, and yet God came through again. Our hope is in the Lord. And our help is in the Lord. And then we need one more character. You've got some more characters left in your bag. Two what? Well, now, two kings. What? We only have two kings or two wise men? Why do we all... I'm a little... Who did these bags? Why do we only have two kings here?
Only have two hands.
Thank you for the person that made up the bags for running this whole thing. So, you know, I'm messing with you. You know that. Yeah, how many kings are there?
Three.
Yeah, and I'm with you, buddy. And yes, that was a very smart thing to only have two kings. That was brilliant, really, on you guys' part. You had no idea that we were going to do this. So, yeah, well, these are the wise men, the same deal, okay? Kings, wise men, sometimes called magi, okay? You know what, guys? We find their story in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, and here's what it says. They show up to Herod's office, and they said, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews?" That was the king saying, "Help! We have seen a star, but there's no baby. There's no king. Where is this king that was born?" It was their cry for help. Now, why do we talk about three wise men or three kings instead of just these two? Because Scripture doesn't really count them, does it? It's kind of like angels and wings. Why three wise men? Anybody know? How many gifts were given? Three gifts. Can you name the gifts, kids? What, name one, Francis.
Myrrh.
You would remember myrrh. Oh, myrrh and
frankincense.
Of course you're going to pick frankincense. Frankincense, and there's one left. Who can name the other one?
Gold.
That's exactly it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's why we usually think that there were three kings. You know, three gifts. Each one brings frankincense, one brings myrrh. Now, when we get to heaven, if there's one king up there and says, "Hey, I had them all. You know, I had them all. I had gold in this pocket, and I had frankincense in this, and myrrh. I had myrrh." Okay, so it's just kind of interesting to me that we have it like that. But only two kings, so I'm a little perplexed. I tell you what, kids. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to take things that you have, put all of the sticks back in your bag. You get to keep them. And I want to have you go back to be with your parents, okay? And if you're a caregiver or guardian up here, you guys go on back. And I think what I'm going to do, there's only two kings. I'm going to go try and find a third king.
You want one of mine?
No. I'm going to go try and find a third king. I'm not quite sure what the deal is, why the two kings. I understand the two hands, and that was brilliant. But I'm a little perplexed because, I've always thought that there were three kings. So I'll be back in just a little bit. I'm going to try to find this third king, okay? Let me see if I can find him.
Sing this together. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still. Proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonders, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising all and raising worship him, God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still, proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, soaring, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still, proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King in God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Those dirty, stinking camels. Dirty, stinking, spitting camels. You saw the star.
Yes, we saw the star.
No, you did not see the star. The star, no star of stars. My friends, Balthazar and Melchior, we study the stars. And several days ago, it was a night just like any other night. And suddenly, there was a star. The star of stars. You did not see the star? Why? It lit up the whole sky. You did not see the star of stars. It had a tail that went all the way to the ground and kissed the earth. You did not see the star of stars. Incredible. Well, we are astrologers. And that's what we do. We study the stars. We just knew that God was going to send a deliverer who was going to right all wrongs. And surely he would announce it in the heavens with a star. Oh, the star of stars. You did not see the star? Were you looking? Never mind. King Herod didn't see the star either. When we got to his palace, we
We told him of the Star of Stars and that this star would announce the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, who would be King of Kings. I think we should not have said that. But it was Herod's own teachers and his chief priests who confirmed what we were saying, that it was true. Indeed, it was true that God was going to send a Messiah who indeed would right all wrongs. It was Herod who said, well, then go to Bethlehem and see this king born a baby. He said so that I might come and worship him. I don't know. I think there was something not right about his words. But you did not see the star. You know Balthazar and Melchior, they're probably wondering, what it is taking old Caspar so long to be getting ready to go to Bethlehem to get the camels ready? I'll tell you why it took so long. They're dirty, stinking, spitting camels. But they're probably wondering why it has taken old Caspar so long to get there. Oh, they're calling me right now. Coming, Balthazar and Melchior. Coming, old Caspar is coming. I'll bring the dirty, stinking, spitting camels. I'll bring those things. But we're going to go see the star. The star. You should see the star. Oh, you should see what I'm seeing now. The Star of Stars. It will help us find the way.
You know, church, as we're gathered today and this week to celebrate the birth of Christ, we can never forget the reason that he came. What was the purpose behind him becoming a man in the first place? Why bother? Well, he came just as we sang this morning, just as we sang, I think it was the fourth song, What Child Is This? And there's this line at towards the end, at the last verse, that shows us why Jesus came. Even they knew it even when he was a baby. When it says, nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and for you. And so our celebration of Christmas would not be complete unless we take a moment and we remember that Jesus was born a baby. He grew as a man. He lived a perfect, holy, and sinless life. And then he went to the cross. And he took the punishment, not for his sins, he didn't have any, but for my sins and for your sins. And so what I'd like us to do in just a moment, we have communion stations set up. This is a visible reminder to us, church, of the body of Christ that was broken and of the blood that was shed for me and for you. And so let's take just a few moments. Let's take communion. I encourage everyone, take communion together. Find a group to take it with. Don't take communion by yourself. You know, parents, we have our children with us, and I know people have different opinions, but I strongly encourage you to take communion with your children. What greater time is there to teach them about the sacrifice of Jesus than as we take the bread and we drink the juice? Over here, I believe there is a gluten-free table if that is a need that you have. So let's take just a few minutes. Let's take communion, and then we'll gather back together, and we'll send off from there. So let's go. Let's take communion right now.
Well, God bless you guys, and I want to just say Merry Christmas to you all, and I hope to see you next Sunday. I really want you to be here to hear Dickie. He's got a specific message for the church, He has gone through a lot of transitions with the 34 churches that he helps to oversee. And they usually are without pastors, or this happens or that happens, a lot of transitions. So this is a man of great wisdom, and he talks funny, and you just come just to hear him talk funny, okay? But and then, of course, we want to welcome you all to then later on the 30th to join us at the Peachtree Plaza for a banquet center for some sort of a celebration. David Job and the transition team have been heading that up, and nobody's listening. So Merry Christmas. See ya.